Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show. On the FinTech Scaling Show, we invite leaders that are really cutting edge and moving outside of the status quo to get their insights and insights on how to scale and expand your business and also yourself as a person. So we're super excited to have Luca on the show today. Luca is the CEO and founder of Lambda Alpha, and Luca's got a really interesting background. He's founded a number of different companies, and more recently through his company, he's been a serial investor. So he's got some fascinating insights as to what to do to build a company and also what investors look for at certain points during the growth of a company. So Luca, excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. And before we kick off, I want to say to everyone, you know, we're going to be diving into different parts of investing today and what investors look for, and also the insights of how to obviously build and move across different parts of your growth journey. So there's going to be a lot of actionable takeaways. I'll tell you that. I've spoken to Luca a few times, and he is a genius when it comes to investing and also obviously scaling businesses. So what I suggest is get a piece of paper, get a pen, and write out and make certain you take notes. And at the end of this, you know, look at those notes and go off and action them, because it's important that whatever nuggets you take out of this, you can action and get implementing on those. Okay, so let's dive in and let's start off the show. And let's start off with maybe the simple of investing. It would be great to get your insights and understanding from you, Luca, as to what is your, you know, overall philosophy when it comes to investing.
I'm an angel investor, so I invest only my money. I'm not running a fund. I'm not, it's 20 years I'm in tech sector. I started my first company when I was 20. It was a shopping comparison site. Then I sold it, did an agency business. Then I did a media publishing business across Europe and Brazil that I've listed in Paris Stock Exchange and sold. So I went through all the cycle of the companies from ups and down in different phases and the fast growth, etc. So I try to look a lot on founders that have the capacity to be founders, that has the, you know, it's a roller coaster, as you know, to be an entrepreneur. So every day you go up to the sky and down to the about five times because you think your company is going to be a decacorn and then failed the day after in the same day many times. But so people that are able to keep the stress on, and they have the energy and to be positive, but not even positive, only positive. They have to see all the issues that can arise and find the right path and the faster path to be successful. So you always have to analyze what can go wrong and why can go wrong, and so go fast on it. Then I'm investing mostly in Europe because it's the market that I know better. So investing mostly in London, Paris, more and more in Germany now. Of course, I'm Italian. For me, it's very important for any company to have a great cap table from day one, because I'm investing in a company that has to be very big. So they have to have a very big market, a big potential, the famous decacorn that everyone is targeting. It's very important to have a VC from day one, and if it's possible, a tier one VC as an investor. So I work a lot with VCs, deal flow. I send them company that I like, they send me the company that they like, etc. And another thing important is simplicity. Every company solve a problem, and they have to make it simple, because I think all tech is made for simplicity, or so all digital to make things simple. And so whatever company I'm looking at, they have a simplicity path. Path for every company I've invested is to make something simple. And that is very important for the future and the scale of the company.
So listen, you mentioned founders need to have the capacity to be founders. What do you mean by capacity? I mean, are we talking about all the things that you rolled off your tongue, you know, after you said that? You need to be resilient. You need to be a problem solver. You need to be able to take on the stress. You need to be able to maybe lead a path where others can't see yet, but you know there's a solution to a problem that you're building.
In one word, ambition, ambition with fundamentals. So the problem is that nowadays there are many founders that want to be founders just to be founder, but they don't know anything about the market they are touching. And I love what Y Combinator was super fantastic on what they did. But often when I speak to founders coming from YC, they are doing a game just to do a game, but they don't know so well the market, or they're not feeling the market. They're not coming from the market. They just have an idea. Let's try. If it's not wrong, I do another one. I think the best founder is the ones that are really connected to their the problem that they have to solve and the market that they have to disrupt in a way that they're feeling really dispassion about it. So they have to be ambitious. Of course, ambition is a key, because the CEO in particular, the entrepreneur, is always to raise the ambition of the team, because think you're going well, but it's never enough. You have to grow more and to be more. You have to have a great team around you. The best CEOs for me are the ones that are not so good on a specific task, but they are very good to have around them very smart people and lead them like their coach. So when I was started my company, I was 20, and still today I'm not able to write code or doing anything, because it's not my skill. And my skill was always to have the best people around me, much better than me on everything, and put them together and to do something. And that's, I think, is the best as you are like this. So this is a bit, but they have to know the product. They have to know the environment that they're creating their company.
Connected to the problem that they want to solve. You also mentioned the team. For me, this strikes out at and cuts into a founder really needs to make certain that he or she is a people's person. They can really connect, right? Because solving a problem, anyone can solve a problem, let's be honest. But if you can solve a problem and then connect with the audience that you need to in order to get your solution to the market, then you're on the right track. So too, as a founder or CEO, as you're building out your team and even your extended team, your partners, your VC, you're connecting with VCs, as you mentioned, connecting with angels like yourself, that people interaction is so important that if you don't want to deal with people, maybe you need to be looking at something else. Yeah.
The market, you can create your own company from your garage and no one will see your face and maybe can be a big company, but the chances are definitely less. And so the venture capital and this industry of fast scaling and growth, fast growth, etc., is a game. Mm. You need to know the rules of the game. Mm. And so how to pitch VCs, how to show metrics and growth, how to show a vision, and a vision that today, what you're doing today is just the beginning. So you have to show that you're able, from what is your first idea, how you can evolve your idea in something bigger and can be a market leader of something much more bigger than your first idea. You have to know as well when you start a product on the first day, what you think it will be is totally different on how the reaction from the consumer will be. And so you have to adapt very fast, as to be something that everyone's saying is fail fast, but it's surreal. Like you have to just start, and if it's not going well, but you just change immediately on something that you try to see what worked. From that, you start another path for your company. Of course, there are all skills that the CEO and entrepreneur has to have it, and this is something you can see ongoing. You can share these issues with your VCs, with your angels, so with your co-founder. I always prefer companies that have co-founders because, the journey, to be alone in the journey is tough.
You know, again, we're just coming back to this people part of it. I mean, you're going out there as an angel investor and you're looking at, various companies and people, and you're wanting to put your sort of skin in the game. What do you look at? We've mentioned some of the things around problem solving and all that type of thing, but what are the habits and or the traits that you look for in a founder and a leader of a company that says to you at the end of the day, when you go through your process, yes, I want to invest in this team. I want to invest in this person.
Yeah, it's a conviction game as well. So you need to have other people that are convinced as you are of the investment. That's the reason why I like VCs, because I'm an angel. I'm not doing a due diligence and I'm not doing so many reference checks, etc. I don't have the capacity to do that. So I prefer the VC doing this job. Then I'm doing some introduction, I'm calling with some people, etc., but not at the level of a VC can do. So they have much more professional analysis, and they also see better the competition and see who else is in the market more. That they can do much more research that I can do. So for me, that's very key to have good VC that I trust that is for investing at the same time.
No, I hear you. And you know, as you go through that stage of, you know, finding a company, finding a person, you've done the analysis with that you can do and obviously leverage what you can from VC. You know, as you walk through that journey with the company and get them into your portfolio, what are the things that you do to coach or help the founders and the company to become more effective and make certain that they go on to what they want to do from a growth perspective?
So when you invest, you don't know yet how much you can be helpful to a company. Sometimes company you think you will be very helpful and never do anything for them because they don't need it from you. And some others you're not expecting, but at the end you couple of intro, now you have them every day on the phone, etc. And so you're more involved. And that doesn't mean that these are the successful ones. Some of them, they are a less successful one as well. Some of them, they are a very successful one. Yeah. So it depends a lot on the journey. I always tell to the founders to send a monthly report because it's very, very key to send a good report with a few metrics, not a long email, but a simple report with lowlights, highlights, metrics, KPIs, etc. Your cap table is your first sponsor. So if they are up to date, they can help. They can be there to support you and eventually can share with them some issues. And it happens like there was one company invested that they have an issue with another company, APIs, etc. And it happened that I knew the founder of the other company. They were like a lead client. So I called him and immediately solved the issue. But if I didn't have a report, I was probably lost 3 months on that without solving it. So as you're there as a consigliere to help the journey of the entrepreneur all the time for the next fundraising, to how to find someone, how to recruit someone, how to save cash, how to spend more in growth, how to change like all the, how to recruit people abroad. There's plenty of issues. Being in many companies helps me a lot because I'm the fantastic thing of being an angel that you learn so much. For me, as a learning curve every day from every company I invest, I learn so much. So and what I learn, I can reuse to other companies because I saw something happen in one company and then you can tell, no, man, they did in this way. Maybe you can try in this other way for you, etc. So that's also very helpful to the founders, I think.
You know, as you go through that journey with the founders, I mean, I guess there's, you know, it's a long journey from start to maybe even exiting if that's what happens and that's what they want to do, or, you know, going further than that. There's bumps in the road, right? We all know there's things that happen. Maybe there's, you have to adapt, as you said earlier. There might be a pivot, or there might be a new revenue stream that needs to be opened, or even a new market, new territory that needs to be looked at and expanded into. And again, just an angel advisory coaching point of view, what are the insights that you provide and you help founders with as they go through that choppy journey, right, of scaling up a startup?
Yeah, it really depends on the moment of the company. So for me, like, I'm there when they need, and I try to help as much as I can every company.
Yeah,
it's up to them as well to want the help or not. Some fellow entrepreneurs, they are less keen to get help, and that's negative point to me because the best entrepreneur is the one that are listening to suggestion and then they take maybe 20% of what you said, then 20% from someone else, and they create their own secret sauce. Because your employees, they're not there just to listen, they are there to do their own part. So you can give some ideas, but then it's up to them to go. But so the the strongest entrepreneur are the one that just asking specific help on specific things going by themselves.
You know, if you were to give advice to our listeners that are listening in right now and they're going through their journey, what's the one thing that you would highly recommend them to be doing either professionally or personally as they build and scale up in their business? And also, obviously, this is a life-changing experience and also in their life.
I think it's not for everyone. I think you have to realize that your work-life balance is at the beginning totally work. And life is coming well after, because it's very difficult to have success, in particular as a first-time entrepreneur, because you have so much to learn. That it's so important that every day you learn so much. And I remember when I started my first company, I was so excited when I went to IKEA in Bologna, because it was starting in Rome, and there was no IKEA in Rome, to buy all the furniture for the office. And I came back with just the wheels of chair, and everything was would be delivered. But I was so happy and excited doing this. You know? So yeah. At the beginning, the excitement is also in the little things, because you're just starting the journey. You feel everything is so exciting. And I think I have the same excitement for this journey at IKEA that was when I listed my third company in Paris Stock Exchange. It was the same kind of, wow, this is something so new and so big, and I'm happy about it. So the thing is, you have to learn everything. The journey of entrepreneur is a fantastic journey, but you have to be open mind totally and don't think, I'm sure about it, how it works. That's my idea. No. Mm. You have to adapt what you think all the time on the reaction of your team, on the reaction of the market, on the action of the investor, on the reaction of the clients, the suppliers. So you have to adapt all the time. So you have to a huge flexibility in your mind and then conviction of what you want. But it's always finding the best compromise to be successful, the best path to be successful. That's super, super important.
And, you know, just tapping into some of your experience, you mentioned a number of times that, you know, you founded companies, and obviously we know an angel investor. I mean, how have you adapted to, you know, how did you go through the stages and adapt to the different influences and different impacts as you've gone through your journey? Was it a case of getting the right mentors on board, or was it a mixture of things?
I was not so lucky to have mentors because I was in Italy. And already today, that is not a great market for a tech company, but at the time it was like very, very difficult. No one was doing that. So zero mentor, unfortunately, and there was definitely less connection ecosystem that as is now. It's like when I was doing business, I was with entrepreneur myself. There were like no interaction with VCs. The VCs, they were like just former private equity guy doing some VC. Totally different environment. Yeah. Today, it's much easier to speak with people that has experience and change with them and learn from them, etc. Yeah. Than at my time, that would be fantastic. It would be definitely another story. At the time, I was just learning every day from what you have in front to talking to the market, to understanding. But I never saw. I start my first company. I did 1 year of university, and then I start my company. So I've two phase of my life, the school phase and the entrepreneurial one. And I still think that even it's 21 years now.
Yeah.
It's passed since it seems all connected, the one day after the other. It doesn't seem so different from that time, if you want, in some ways. So it's a long journey, and that is never ended. And I hope it will never end, because every day is much more exciting what is happening.
And what have you done through that journey to self-educate? You've mentioned learning all the time. What are you constantly
entrepreneurs
doing?
Entrepreneurs are like Uber. So for me, it's very important that they take from every person, learn from every person. How you learn that, I don't know. That is not like it's up to you. You have to just
How do you do it?
I don't know. It's natural. It's like you speak with people and you ask questions, you listen, and then you take some of what they're saying in a way that you elaborate for yourself. So that's something very, very natural. It's like I always been like this since I was probably 10 years old, like, or even before. Like for me, it's like natural to I was reading newspaper when I was a kid. I was like, I always interested in doing something. I hate school. For me, school was terrible. I was losing time at school because I was not able to do anything. Just studying something that someone else was telling me to do was not, it was impossible for me. I hate it. I was a very bad student. Yeah. So immediately when I had the chance to create my own things and start my own things, I was so I already when I was at school, I created a newspaper with a politician. I ran a campaign for the mayor. I was trying to do other things because I was so bored about just studying, passively studying. So that's also the mindset that you have. It's maybe not what you want to for your kids, but
because they say you know, entrepreneurs are very much like artists, right? You start off with a sketch and you scribble it out, and then you do another sketch and you scribble it out, and then finally you get to a nice sketch where you start painting. And you know, that takes that journey, your journey, taking 20 odd years. It sounds very much like this, you know, sketch of an artist.
Yeah, I think it was lucky that I never had to think, okay, let's think what is the next idea that I will have. It always came one after the other, inside the other as a spin-off.
Yeah.
From the first company, the second company, third company, one after the other. So it was never been let me think what could be a good idea to start. Mm-hmm. And every time that I tried to do something different, I failed. I was not so, so I prefer to continue the journey in that way.
And what are you doing as an investor? What are you doing right now? What questions are you asking yourself? And what factors, i.e. like COVID or Brexit and things like these, are you considering as you move forward in your sort of investment journey and your entrepreneurial journey?
Fortunately, but luckily for the sector, boom for all tech digital companies, of course,
yeah.
It changed completely the habits.
Yeah.
And so it was, we were very, very lucky in our sector because every company was booming. Of course, now there is a lot of money going to the market. So there are more and more companies like, it's a bit strange that all the companies have invested in the last years, no one failed because they're still getting money, etc. Even the ones that are not going so well, at the end, they are getting another round. So that's, I mean, a moment there's so much money around that helps the company to continue to survive and maybe to pivoting for to the right direction as well. So at the moment, what I'm looking at is mostly to connect more and more with VC, having more and more good deal flow, and connecting more and more with smart angels and maybe people like me that they're focusing all their time on investing, that I'm not investing only in angel, I'm investing also in VCs, I'm investing in some pre-IPO deals and some pre-IPO funds, all in tech, but in different phase and different kind of strategy of investment, because I think that is the bigger opportunity of return and the more interesting sector where we can do the difference. You know, there are so many companies now that creating incredible business from new things. I was lucky to invest in a small fund called Tiny Ventures, former AngelList, that they were investing in SoRare at the 2 million euro pre-evaluation pre-seed. And now the company has been valued at 4.2 billion from SoftBank after 2 years. That was a huge return, but I didn't do anything for that. I just put some money in Tiny and they did it. But also from these investments, I learn a lot what are the company working, what are not. You receive the report, you look at the company itself. So you learn a lot also from that. So that's another point. So the journey is always to expand the network, expand the people. And I found the COVID time quite good to do that because before it was more, I'm going to Paris, I'm going to meet people, etc. Now it's like, let's jump in a call and let's do it tomorrow. No? So I don't have to wait the time to go to Paris, London or Berlin to meet people, but you just jump in a call and it's much faster to connect with people, I think. So I expanded a lot my network in the last 2 years without taking a flight.
Brilliant. So it sounds like you on to the next part. And it's been really awesome having you on the show today. I think we've dived into bits of what you look for in an entrepreneur, your entrepreneurial journey, and also what you're looking to do from an angel investing point of view. So really stoked to have you on the show today. And thanks for coming, Luca.
You're welcome. Just the last point I would like to say, if possible, if you want to go in the journey of entrepreneur, I think today you have much more content, so you can read a lot. I think the YC podcasts are very helpful to understand the rules of this game, and also suggest a lot NFX, the VC. They have an amazing content they're writing on the network effects and all the why they're investing in company, etc. So you can create a lot of you can learn a lot and define knowing much better this sector, but it's a journey that you have to do yourself. Today it's very easy to create a company, and it's very easy to do from home, to find investors, etc. But you have to do yourself, and there are all the tools, but you just go online and understand and work, and you can recruit people everywhere in the world. You can have a co-founder you meet once a year in the other side of the world, so you don't need to be in the same office, etc. So it's a fantastic context to do it, but you just have to go.
Yeah. And brilliant advice there, brilliant way to end up this episode. And listen, I think there's some really great nuggets of advice and information and insights that we've just covered. And if you want to drop me a note, if you've got any questions on what we discussed today, just drop me a note at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. And Luca, brilliant having you on the show today. Loved it so much, and looking forward to watching your expansion, your growth over the coming weeks and coming years.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much for your time.